Sion,
La Colle-les-Yvelines,
Saint-Denis,
Boulogne-sur-Mer,
Clermont-Ferrand,
Lyon, Giverny,
Angers,
Arles,
Périgueux,
Annecy,
Savigny-sur-Orge,
L'Indivision,
Paris,
Perpignan.
Pour la nouvelle
Normandie.
Hi guys, so welcome to the first ever mini-sode of Kenyan Francophile. I read some tweet the other day that said podcasters would talk endlessly for like 40 minutes and then you hear, let's dive right into it. And for that particular reason, I will dive right into it at the very beginning. I hope you guys are well. I am actually quite well and settled. I think this episode is just to catch you guys up with what has been happening in the past couple of weeks, October and early November. I think the last episode that I was on the pod on my own, I was actually still in Kenya. If not, I was traveling. Yeah, the last time I recorded, I must have been in Kenya. So the past couple of weeks, like the past month has been, it's been a lot. You know, I think for me, really, what I would call the hardest part of settling or the hardest administrative process would be finding a house, because everything else is like, at least I have a roof over my head. If you're looking for a house, you have no place to stay. You're constantly stressed because you just want to settle. And the worst thing about it is that you feel like nothing else can move on. It's not even a feeling. In fact, it's because it's the reality, you know. Especially like in France, many things are tied to your house address. For instance, I couldn't buy the transport subscription because I didn't have an address, and they need something called, I think they asked for an attestation de logement, which is like something to show where you stay. And I didn't have that yet. I mean, I bought it eventually, but it's more costly if you don't have a place to stay. If you don't have a bank account, you also need that. You need an address for pretty much everything. So it's really unsettling. But I'm finally glad I'm settled in my own apartment now. In fact, I was playing back the previous episode I did with Olive and Lillian. If you haven't heard that one, you can check it out on my, it's just the previous episode anyway. So I had myself saying, oh, my settling was easy. Wow. It's like the universe said, hold my beer. Because this time around, it was quite the hurdle. I took, I think like 2-3 weeks to just finally settle and finally get a place and move in and all that. The thing is, so usually for house hunting, we search in websites. There's Le Bon Coin, which, there's Le Bon Coin à partager. The ones I use mostly were Le Bon Coin à partager and La Carte Coloc. And for some reason this time, I didn't have much luck with this website. I kept sending messages to landlords and people who are looking for roommates, and people are not replying. And it was so annoying because if you put an ad, why not reply to people who are interested in your ad? So every time I kept tweaking my proposal, and one tip somebody shared is that like, if you are looking for a roommate, try to make your proposal interesting and inviting. Don't make it too official because everybody wants to stay with a fun person, you know. So after struggling for like 2 weeks, getting rejections and no answer every single day, I was on my laptop every single minute sending a proposal to either a residence or a house of people looking for roommates, and I didn't get much luck. It wasn't very favorable because, you know, when you're moving in, at first you have to pay deposit and then you have to pay rent. And the more the days pass, the more money you spend, and you haven't paid this money yet. And one thing I hate about landlords in France, sometimes you feel like they just make it unnecessarily hard for you. Some people will ask for crazy fees, like, how am I supposed to pay you rent and deposit, and then I also pay you fees for my file. I also look for a guarantor. A guarantor is technically is somebody who is supposed to vouch for you and say, in the event that this guy doesn't pay rent, I will pay the rent. And they usually want a French person. How am I supposed to get a French person to vouch for me like that? But luckily, there's a website called Visal where you can apply and get one. But it takes some time. So eventually, I did get a place. I got accepted in a residence. It's a habitat jaune. It's like a place where young working people stay. It's funny because this is something I had applied for in like August or like September. I applied kitambo, and then I didn't get accepted. They said it was full. By the time I was applying, it was already full because That's the worst thing about looking for a house around September, October, because it's la rentrée. Everybody's going back to school and all apartments are booked. So I got a place in a residence that I had applied for and somebody failed to come. So yeah. Aside from that, I have just been passing, spending time settling in my apartment, reading. I finally finished a book I was reading. I'm reading another one now, which is a good sign because I barely read continuously. And those people who read 5 books at a time and end up finishing none of them. Story for another day. As far as work is concerned, or school for me, like work, same thing. I haven't done much because the first 2 weeks we did were observation and introduction. But I was received very nicely in my school. I like that. And I think that's the best thing about teaching in one school. Like, you're committed fully to that one school. You don't move around. Like, they see you more, you know. Last year I had 3 schools. This year I only have 1 school. I prefer it that way. So when we went to the school the first day, myself and a Ghanaian assistant who also does some hours in my school, it was a very warm reception. They had decorated the school and labeled for us. And there was a poster by the gate that said, by some door that said, "Welcome, Emmanuel and Tara." And then 2 kids did a tour of the school and they were saying the names in English. And you could tell they had crammed these names. They were saying, like, "This is the playing ground. This is the staircase." Stuff like that. "These are the toilets." And they sang. Oh, yeah. I think my favorite part is when they sang. There's 2 teachers who play guitar. And they played guitar and the kids sang 2 songs. One was French and then one was a Bob Marley song. If you know me, you know how I feel about Bob Marley. So it was a very special moment for me. And needless to say, I love my school already, like, very much. And then for the introduction, this time I didn't get asked any weird questions. It was just the normal questions that they're curious about Kenya. Because in an introduction, you usually introduce yourself, where you're from, introduce your country a bit, tell them cultural stuff and about your country. I wasn't asked any weird questions, but I had some assistants who were asked some weird questions, like if there's water in Kenya. Yeah. I don't know, man. Ignorance is something else. There's an excerpt from a book that Lillian shared in some group that she got in one of the books that she is using. And I think those words have stayed in my mind for long. That it says, for more context, it was written in 1997. Not to excuse it, but this is weird. The passage is titled "Good and Evil." And it says, "By not helping the people of the third world, are we not to some extent similar to somebody who watches a child drowning in a swimming pool and does nothing to help? This situation is obviously more immediate than helping the starving, but it's difficult to deny that we are not just as aware of what's going on in Africa as we are of someone 6 feet away from us." I mean, I have no words, honestly, because reading that gave me some perspective of how some people here view Africans in general. And I think you'll hear it in the next episode. Bichanga talked about it in the next upcoming episode about how sometimes you feel like there's already a prejudice towards you as an African in a foreign country or in a first world country. And it kind of also explains the whole white savior mentality when white people come to Africa and then they go to slums and take pictures of starving kids and then they post them all over their socials. "Oh, the kids are dying in Africa. Let's help the kids in Africa." Come on now. So that's one thing that has been on my mind. And also the fact that I am so glad that I have so many Kenyans around me this time round. There's even more than 10 Kenyans in Montpellier, and it's such a good feeling for me this time, because last year I didn't have many Kenyans around. I only had 2 Kenyans who I met at the end of my stay, And even them, they said they had been staying in Perpignan for like 10 years or something, and they hadn't met other Kenyans. So it was a victory for me. And now I have Kenyans that I can meet any day of the week I want. And it's a good feeling to have a sense of community right here, a million miles away from home. We're actually going to watch Black Panther together this weekend, and I'm so excited for that. Which is crazy because last year I wasn't, and now I am, because suddenly representation means much, much more to me as a black person living in a predominantly white country. And speaking of Black Panther, it's a bit crazy to me that every time I open social media anywhere, literally anywhere, I will see something about black conversations about Black Panther and Wakanda Forever. Like, the hashtag is all over, and especially considering that this is a very special one after Chadwick's passing. And it's crazy to think that in France I have not seen a single poster of Black Panther 2, which is wild to me, because these people really go out on marketing films when they come out. Like, on the trains, on the bus stops, there's always a poster. There's always posters of every single movie. Let's say if it was something like Spider-Man coming out, it would literally be shoved down your throat that Spider-Man is coming out tomorrow. And this hasn't been the case this time around, and there's a whole debate about it. And guys are saying, no, it's not. It's nothing racist. It's just that. Which is true, though. There's apparently it wasn't supposed to show in France because of some rule. I can post a link about it. You can read about it in the link I'll post on this on the show notes. But honestly, I'm not buying that. I am really not buying that. And I happened to mention it to a friend of mine in Argentina, and they said the same thing, that because they've been away from social media, why not for the fact that I mentioned to them, they would not have known that Black Panther was out. For me, it's just fascinating to witness real-time how different demographics respond to Black Panther, I guess. Yeah, I can't wait to watch Black Panther. I hope you guys are going to watch Black Panther for the culture, wherever you will be. Yeah, so that's my life lately. And I'm also excited about an upcoming concert. I'm going to see Daju next week, which is exciting for me because I had volleys wanted to go to a Daju concert. So I'm super, super, super excited for that. I can't wait. I can't wait. And it's right here in my own town, so I don't really have to travel far. Another thing that has been on my mind is how I truly, truly do not enjoy daylight saving time. If you don't know what that is, it's how outside the tropics, usually starting around the second Sunday in March, time moves ahead, and then somewhere in autumn, around the time winter starts, on the first Sunday of November, time moves back by an hour. So it's very confusing for me because, one, it starts becoming darker really, really, really earlier, and many have argued, there's numerous debates about it, why do we really need it? And they claim that it saves energy, but studies have shown repeatedly that it actually doesn't. And I truly, truly believe that it's a very capitalist concept and we should stop doing that. Because personally, for me, it really messes up with my brain and my mood and everything. It just confuses my day. And I'm sure this is the same for so many other people. And I've heard there's talks already in place to stop doing it. And I hope they actually do stop doing it. Because for me, it just goes to show how time really is an illusion. Because if somebody can just wake up and say, you know what, it's not 10 p.m., it's 11 p.m. I remember learning in geography, or was it social studies, whatever level that was, how during winter, the countries outside the tropics experience more hours of darkness and less hours of light. I never imagined how that would look like until now, because it just feels like it's always dark. Because like a time like 5 p.m. already, it's dark. Like it's like 8 p.m. dark, you know. And in the morning when I'm going to work at like 8 a.m., it looks like it's 6 a.m., you know, thanks to daylight saving. I wish we didn't do that. So now usually I'm an hour behind from Kenya. But now with daylight saving time, I'm 2 hours behind. it feels like night comes earlier. Because at like 5 p.m., it's so dark. 5 p.m. here looks like, say, 8 p.m. in Kenya or something, or like 7 p.m. And then by like 8 p.m., it's pitch dark. It's pitch dark, like 10 midnight hours. And to me, it's a very funny concept because it just goes to show that time is an illusion. So that's about it. This was just a mini-sode to catch you guys up. I'll be uploading another episode very, very soon, so stay tuned for that. Oh yeah, and remember to follow my podcast on Instagram. I'm now on Instagram under Kenyan Francophile. And remember to share it with a fellow Francophile and people that you know would love this kind of content. And I hope you guys have a lovely November and the end of the year. Merry Christmas. You heard it here first. Bye.